You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Gazzola joins us now. And Tommy, a few things to get to first. We'll get to the Stanley Cup final in a second. But for a Pause of Friday question, let's assume Mike Smith's either retired or on LTI. Let's just make that assumption for this question. Which goalie would you add to play with Stuart Skinner?
The one I would add, well, I'd want the best possible goalie, but if a John Gibson is not willing to come up to Edmonton, which is quite likely, you got to go down the list. So it basically shakes down to if Jack Campbell doesn't reach an agreement with Toronto, which I think is potentially something that occurs, I think he would definitely be on Edmonton's radar, and he's a guy I think the Oilers would definitely go after. So I know that name's been bouncing around now, and I can tell you that, yeah, he's certainly someone that they would identify as a potential replacement for Mike Smith should he retire. Do I like that idea? Yeah, they need to upgrade the goaltending, and is it a knock-it-out-of-the-park type of upgrade if that were to happen? No, not necessarily. Even if they got Ville Husso, Gregs, I mean, we saw Husso in the playoffs have his struggles, and he had a very good regular season with a very good Blues team in front of him. These are, you know, both guys that we're talking about right now, Husso and Campbell, are two guys that played on good teams and were solid enough to lead them to good numbers. So I know that that those two guys are certainly possibilities. Do I think Bobrovsky would be coming here? No, I don't think so. I don't know how you even make that money work, even at half his price point at $5 million out of that $10 million per year deal. I don't think that happens. So the realistic thing is a guy like Husso and Campbell, but guess what? There's going to be other teams gunning for them as well, and that's if they shake loose, which, you know, there's a good chance that they will.
Well, yeah, like, see, I'm not sold that John Gibson's the best option, to be 100% honest, based on how he's played the last few years. Right. Goaltenders are, there's gray areas around. Like, I look at all the goalies who are available in free agency, and I couldn't sit here and say for certain that this guy is automatically going to be the best. Now, what they need to do is obviously you have to scout and say, okay, the style that the Oilers are going to play under Jay Woodcroft, because I think we're seeing it in Colorado. Colorado hasn't had outstanding goaltending. And they're one game away from winning the Stanley Cup, right?
Right.
Because there's just not many Vasilevskis out there, right? And Tampa, some games, Vasilevsky, you know, didn't do much, and then other games he'd stand on his head when they won cups. But I look at the orders, there's not a Vasilevsky, there's not a Shesterkin, right?
No.
But you can get a quality goalie, and if you commit to decent team defense in front of him, then he doesn't have to be dominant. And I think that's kind of the route the Oilers are going to have to take. And unless they feel that Stuart Skinner might be the best option, because most of the elite goalies, most, are developed and, you know, drafted by their own team.
Yes, they are. And I think if you have a bridge between Skinner, the backup, which is likely how things play out, but like you said, anything could happen. We saw the rise of Jake Oettinger this season. We saw Thatcher Demko take over the crease two seasons ago in Vancouver. He was riding shotgun for Braden Holtby briefly in that season in Vancouver. There's another guy that, you know, will likely be available. I don't know. Maybe Holtby at this point in his career will change his mind on coming to Edmonton, because I heard a couple seasons ago he didn't necessarily want to come up here.
I'm not sure he has much left, man.
Exactly. So that there's not a lot of enticing options. Like, you look down the list, you got Dave Riddick. Like, is he Dave Riddick, the all-star from a couple years ago? No chance. Martin Jones, probably done. Thomas Greiss, what kind of confidence do you get in a guy with like Thomas Greiss? He's 36 years old as well. Greg's, it's slim pickings, and that list is not very sexy at all. So the right style plays into it, confidence, and Stuart Skinner is going to get his looks. If he gets a chance and starts to ride hot, then maybe they don't turn back and they just go with him. But that's a big if. He's naturally progressed season by season, level by level, and that's in all likelihood what's to happen next year. Things can change. Things could be different. Maybe you hit the accelerator a little bit. Maybe it doesn't go as according to a plan, and it's a bumpy road next year. I mean, it could go a bunch of different ways, but I get it. There were times this year where Stuart Skinner was Edmonton's best goalie, flat out. Like, Koskinen struggled, Smith struggled, and then Skinner would step in and he'd play a couple of good games, and you're like, well, why not this guy, especially when they're in that stretch where they won two games in what, 15 or 16? There's going to be so many variables that play into this, but Greg, when it comes to that list of potential goalies and guys that might end up here, it ain't pretty, but you need something that's respectable, realistic, and can get you through and help this team be competitive. And it's good that you point out that Darcy Kuemper, albeit a pretty good goalie in the NHL, not elite, has the Avs on the cusp of a Stanley Cup victory tonight.
Tom Gazzola joins us, Hamilton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. So, Tom, let's say the Avs win tonight. Who wins the Conn Smythe?
Everyone's saying Cale Makar. And, like, Cale Makar's been excellent. I like what Nathan McKinnon's done. I think he's been an impact player. Do you look at Gabriel Landis, Greg's? Does Nichushkin even get any consideration? He's not a big-name guy, but he's had a big playoffs for this team. It's interesting, but I think the sexy, obvious pick is Cale Makar. I wouldn't mind seeing a dark horse win it, like a Nichushkin or a Rantanen, but I know Rantanen was off to a slow start, so maybe that nullifies him from the running.
He's only 2 points back at Makar, right?
Well, yeah, but Makar, he's the Norris winner. He's a defenseman. Oh, look how good he is. His highlight reel goals. Not taking anything away from Cale Makar, but I kind of like the element of surprise. And if the writers and reporters and broadcasters that are picking the Conn Smythe, should the Stanley Cup be awarded tonight, I hope they look at the roster more than just the top two or three players from the Avs and maybe give some consideration to those other guys. But probably Makar if they win, and I appreciate and respect what Nichushkin has done. And again, Nathan McKinnon's an absolute beast of a hockey player. We had a front row seat to it in that third round, but the easy pick is Makar. Give me a dark horse, Greg's. Put me down for like a Nichushkin, okay?
Nichushkin, yeah. Well, that would be a big dark horse,
yeah,
for sure.
It's ridiculous. I know.
A lot of people are texting McDavid. He's got 33 points in 16 games. I don't think so, but he definitely was the most dominant player, followed closely by his teammate Draisaitl for the first three rounds.
Yeah, and Greg, like just to clarify, because I know that talk has kind of come up. McDavid.
It's only come up in Edmonton. It's not come up anywhere else.
I know, but the voters for the Conn Smythe are the reporters that are literally the beat reporters for the teams in the Stanley Cup final. Do you think any of them are going, hey, great Stanley Cup final, but you know what? Connor McDavid had a great three rounds.
Well, I don't even think it's the beat reporters, to be honest. It's a select group. It's a very small group of guys who vote on the Conn Smythe, but I can tell you there might be one beat reporter from each team, but it's definitely not all of them from each team.
Yeah.
There's lots of, it's a big different group from different places.
Yeah.
A few other things, Tommy. The Elks. Now, you know what? I thought the Elks would be under 500 to start the season, and I know it's only two games, it's early on, but I said I thought there's a good chance they might start the season like 0-6 just because of their schedule. They play a lot of the top teams early on, and they're not a top team. Do they keep it close in Calgary?
I think so. I want to believe so, and I want to think that they build off of what they were able to do Saturday against the Riders at home, where, you know, they had a lead in the second half. It didn't last all that long. The Riders kind of poured it on in the fourth quarter. But if Edmonton's going to be successful, a few things will probably have to play out. The defense will have to hold. The offense will need to attack Calgary's secondary as much as possible. I know that's kind of an area of concern for the Stamps, is their secondary and how it will manage the Elks. But for that to happen, Arbuckle's going to have to go to the air. I know he's got some sure-handed receivers that he can go to, but he's got to get the ball to them. The distribution has to be there. He's got to have time from the O-line. So if the offense could be a little bit more efficient and move the ball downfield, it felt like at times on Saturday it just wasn't getting it done. It wasn't clicking. It was a little bit out of sorts. But at times it found a bit of a rhythm. So if it can build off of that, Greg, then I think that the Elks give themselves a bit of a chance. And you're fair to point out that the schedule sucks for them. It's going to be tough. We know that this is a complete rebuild. Chris Jones has stripped this team down, gutted it, and he's starting to mold it in the type of team he wants to see be competitive. And you don't turn that into overnight success. So incremental growth, maybe you get a result. Maybe you get an Arbuckle who rises to the occasion facing his old team, going back to McMahon Stadium. Maybe that spurs him on and inspires him to have the game of his life or the game of his season. And I know that anytime Edmonton and Calgary locks horns in the CFL, the guys, they rise up to the task. And, I mean, it's been tough in Calgary and at McMahon Stadium, but Greg's never say never, especially if this team is inspired, wants to help their quarterback get a win, a little bit of vengeance from the team that traded him.
Yeah, well, they'll have to they're going to have to get some offense going. So, yeah, maybe Nick Arbuckle. Maybe this will be his coming out party for the Elks against his former team. We'll see how it goes. Tommy, have yourself a wonderful weekend. We will talk to you on Monday.
Greg, have a great weekend, my friend.